Do you give yourself enough opportunities to dream? You know, think about what you really want out of life and not what is just expected of you. As humans living in the 2020s, most of us feel our lives are mapped out in front of us. You find a job, tick. Find a partner, tick. Start a family, tick. Then support that family through many years of hard work, tick. And then retire and finally start living and doing all those things you've always wanted to do. Sound familiar? But what if I said you could start moving towards those aspirational dreams today? To travel and live overseas? To leave that unsatisfactory or abusive relationship? To start training in that area you've always wanted to upskill in? In today's episode of Marketing Me, I'm chatting with Melissa Waringi about her personal journey from experiencing domestic violence and feeling there was no way out to living the life of her dreams. This episode is part of a month of mental health related episodes in recognition of Mental Health Month. If you're only seeing darkness right now, I want you to know that the lightness is just up ahead. If you need further support, please reach out to wonderful organizations like Lifeline, Beyond Blue, or the Black Dog Institute. You deserve to be happy. Without further ado, let's kick off the episode and hear how Melissa successfully turned her life around. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I help business owners just like you build trustworthy connections with their ideal clients. And I do this through engaging conversational copywriting and strategic advice at right time marketing. So feel free to book in a free 30-minute discovery call with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Melissa Waringi. welcome, Melissa.
Thanks, Leanne. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, it's so exciting. So Melissa is a world schooling mum of three, author, inspirational speaker, and founder of MelissaWaringi.com. She helps free-spirited humans monetize their heart and soul-inspired personal brand so they can share their message, impact lives, and live their wildest dreams. Woohoo! I love that. As a young, depressed mother, Melissa left drug-fueled violence with two small children and chose to rebuild her life by mastering her fears and following her deepest desires. She has since achieved many of her life ambitions, including living abroad, publishing her first book, and traveling the world with her family. She is currently editing her second book, Start Within, while enjoying her life abroad in Vietnam, actually. So she shares her stories to motivate and inspire audiences while teaching us that anything is possible when we start within, master our fears, and pursue our dreams. It's amazing. I met Melissa, what was it, a couple of years ago now, yeah, through the Speakers Institute, and we just connected naturally, and then she got up on stage and I heard her story and I was like, wow, like you wouldn't know, she'd been through so much turmoil, just to put it that way, and the beautiful person she's become. I'm like, yes, I need to have her on the show, especially on mental health month, and really hear everything that she's done. So thank you so much for joining us. I'm very excited for our chat today.
Same. I'm looking forward to sharing and hopefully inspiring people, or just maybe something I say will help somebody, or you know, who knows.
You never know. And yeah, so you have a very fascinating story. You went from a depressed, broke, single mum on welfare to a happy, abundant mum and gypsy entrepreneur traveling the world with your family. Could you please talk us through your experiences?
So it's happened over a long time. So that's number one. I think, you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, how do you do it? But it's not like flick a switch. It took a lot of time. So, you know, when I came out of that DV relationship, it was really toxic. It was really nasty. And even for a good year out of it, there were still behaviors happening that were not healthy. And so a big, big part of that for me was working on myself. Because at the time that I left, you know, I was depressed. At my last point, I'd even been suicidal. It was really, really rough. And I looked at myself and I thought, well, you know, what do I want for my children, really? And my big breaker was I didn't want them to see me growing up, you know, unhappy and bitter and angry with the world. I wanted them to see, remember me as being a happy person. So I realized at some point I've probably never really been a happy person. And I'd always probably been quite a serious person, not a lot of just sparkle in me, or I dimmed a lot of that a lot being younger. And I took it upon myself to just commit to that journey of happiness. And so that led me to do things like reading The Art of Happiness and The Key to Living, The Law of Attraction. And things just sort of unfolded. It kind of has gone in little speedy bumps, and then it's gone really slow for a time, and then away we'll go again. So, you know, I started doing the Law of Attraction, and I started writing out my lifetime goals, which I had 101 of. I think I'm well through at least 35, maybe 40 of those already. And these are not small goals, guys. I just put down, you know, real out there things. And one of the things that happened after I left and started doing that work on myself was that I did a road trip and ended up moving to like a place that was complete paradise to me. So prior to the relationship breakdown, I'd always sort of perceived this place as a place I could only live in if I was really rich. And I just moved there because I just felt called to move there. I went on a road trip, sat on a beach on a rainy day, said, if I wake up and the sun's shining, I'll move here. And I did. And it took 3 weeks. And that was a huge part of changing my life. Again, it was about finding gratitude for everything. You know, I wasn't in the best situation. I didn't have a job. I had 2 kids dependent on me. It was depending on welfare. It was really a tough time, but yet I could still see all of the things to be grateful for. And I ended up being really grateful for the domestic violence breakup, because I realized that if it weren't for all of that hardship, I wouldn't have gone and pursued the happiness that had led me on that path.
Yes. And was there an actual catalyst, like a moment where it all began, like the positive thinking all started?
Yeah, I remember it. So it was, it would have been in the first few months. So I, if you've ever been in DV, it takes you a while to get out. So, you know, I remember I did a protection order, and it would have been like December 2008, but then I was still like in and out, in and out, in and out. I wasn't fully, you know, I still had a lot of hope, because my heart really just wanted my family to stay together, and I was going to do anything to do, you know, whatever I could do to keep it together. And so that means that sometimes they'll say, oh, I'll change. And you just want to see that in them. So between sort of December 2008 and sort of about April, May 2009, that's sort of roughly the period that I was in and out and more out than in throughout that timeline. And I remember there was a time in June 2009 where things were really messy. So he had got a new partner, and I was like, wasn't really enjoying that, because I knew that they were both drug users, and I wasn't really comfortable with my kids being around that. And things sort of just exploded. And I was referred to a part of the separation with children in New Zealand is that you are appointed usually a counsellor. But in our instance, for some reason, the wonderful universe said there's no counsellors available to deal with you. So you get to deal with a wonderful psychologist.
Oh, yes. Awesome.
I know. And this psychologist wasn't your average, here, you're depressed, take some meds psychologist. He was like, you actually haven't got a problem in your life, Melissa. You need to look into the law of attraction.
Wow. I didn't know psychologists talk about it. There you go.
I know. So I got probably the very best psychologist on the face of the earth. And yeah, he basically said, there's not really a lot wrong with your life. Yes, you've been depressed for a really long time. Part of that, you were severely depressed. But really, you actually just need to figure out the law of attraction and sort yourself out. And so once he said that, then that kind of led me to that book, The Key to Living the Law of Attraction. And then I was just like, oh my goodness, wow, like, wow, it all really starts with me. And so I basically went through the book, did the activities, and the thing that really stood out for me were two key things. One was the mantra, and the other one was the 101 lifetime goals. And the reason that the mantra stands out for me, and I'm going to tell you this really funny story, was because I didn't believe in the mantras. I've just got a little notification about WhatsApp. I actually did not believe in the mantras. I was like, this is rubbish. It's not going to work, but I'm so desperate. I want to have an awesome life, so I'm going to do it anyway. So I used to walk around my house going, my life is awesome, my life is awesome. And just imagine me like really like the miserable face and not really happy.
Not
and
feeling going, it, you're just saying
I wasn't
it.
I'm feeling it at all.
I'm just going through the motions, right? I'm meant to say these things and the magic will happen, right?
Exactly. And I would even do the eye roll and be like, oh, this is so ridiculous. Like, how is my life awesome? My whole family's a flipping mess. I've got two kids. I'm on my own. They wake me up all night. Like, I was complaining nonstop, saying my life is awesome. And anyway, it was about 3 months into this little process. Actually, there was another one that I was doing. But 3 months in, and I woke up one day, and I remember I was scooping poo out of the bath, my baby had pooed, and I was saying, my life is awesome. I actually cracked up laughing. I was like, actually, my life's not that bad anymore. You know, it had changed something in that 3 months. I wasn't necessarily conscious, but it was. And the other one that I was doing was the nightly gratitude practice, which is, I forget that because it's so part of my nature now. I was doing three things that I was grateful for each day. Prior to that, I think, you know, a lot of people perceive that they're grateful because mum and dad taught us, you know, if you get a gift, you say thank you. But I never realized the depth of what gratitude actually feels like, and how it's an experience that you can feel every day and throughout the day. And so when I started that, I used to be like, oh, what am I grateful for? Like, I've had a shit day. I've had no sleep. And I was in that mindset of complaining and constantly just having that negative reel on. And by doing the three things every day, it sort of shifted me. And then when I started feeling really good, I was like, oh, wow. And now I've got to a stage, because I've gotten further with it, that I ride my bike down the street and I'm just like, yeah, so grateful, I love my life. And I'll see a baby cow and I'm all just like, yay, I'm so grateful I got to see a baby, you know, just everything. So I think it's about bringing that into your consciousness, because as long as you're in that negative frame of mind, with that mindset just going constantly, like finding all the negatives, and you're going to, if you want to look for negatives, you'll definitely find them. But the reverse is also true. If you want to look for all the positives, you'll 100% find those too.
Oh, you're singing my story, sister. That's exactly how I feel. The same. When I also discovered the law of attraction about 13 years ago, it changed my whole perspective on things, because I was always, we all, like, naturally as humans seem to think negative. And we'll talk about this morning at a networking event, actually, how it just seems naturally you're negative, and you actually have to be really conscious to change the thoughts into positive. It's so weird. But I've now, like you, it's become so ingrained of being grateful and think positive. So every time a negative thing comes up, I'm really self-reflective going, ooh, why am I feeling that way? Can I change that? Can I think of tomorrow's a new day, or I'll let myself mope today, but tomorrow will be fine. Or I just, I'm in the middle of it now, but the chapter hasn't ended, or this isn't the end of my story. It's just, you know, and it's, yeah, all that perspective.
It so is. It really is.
And speaking of perspective, like with this year, with 2020, with COVID, it's thrown a lot of people's perspectives out of whack, because they were living this comfortable life. And, you know, yeah, so you're overseas in Vietnam. And I'm interested in knowing, why did you decide to stay overseas rather than return when COVID hit? Because you were living in Australia, weren't you? And then, yeah. So tell us a bit more about that.
So one of the biggies on my 100 list that I wrote way back in 2009 was the original list. But in 2010, I'd moved to that little paradise spot, and I met a lot of backpackers and people that were traveling the world. And so up in my little Bay of Islands haven back in New Zealand, the people that I met, the stories that they would tell me, like, oh, I just saved up enough for a plane ticket and flew over. And I'm like, huh? Is that even, like, what? like, I'm so, I was just like, if I had known this pre-kids, I would have done this myself. And it just gave me this burst of like, wow, people are doing this with no money. Like, I was always under the pretext that, you know, if you're going to go travel, you had to have loads and loads of money. And there were these people that had come from like the other side of the world with nothing. And they would literally work for accommodation, get themselves set up, get a job. And they were all living, you know, wherever they wanted to live. And when they'd had enough, they'd just jump in a car or book a bus ticket and off they would go to the next place. And I was just like, oh, I didn't even know this kind of lifestyle existed. And so when I met these people, I was all like, nah, if I had done, you know, all the excuses why I couldn't, because I had kids. And then I met a really cool friend who had told me a story about one of his friends who had traveled the world with his parents as a teen. And he had a bit of a sad story because his parents passed away sometime after that travel. However, that travel stayed with him forever. And so he sort of had said to my friend, oh, you know, like, I'm so grateful for all that time that I'd spent traveling with my parents because it's made it a lot easier. And so when I heard that story, I went and updated my 101 list and said, I want to travel the world. And it's so funny. I actually had a Facebook post in August 2010 that I'd done, and it just came up in my memories recently, and it said, I want to travel around the world with my kids in 10 years from now. And it's so funny because, like, when it came up in my memories, I was like, oh my gosh, I finally did it.
I did. Oh my gosh.
I know. I did it. And so a big part of that was, you know, gosh, for the first 5 years of that, that was just an impossible territory. It was just like, that's never going to happen. Like, how the heck am I ever going to make that happen? It's going to cost me a fortune to do it. Like, it's okay doing it on my own, but, you know, with two kids and a husband eventually, you know, it was just seemed way out of this brain possibility, right? So we got married in 2014 and I'd graduated from university. And I left a bit feeling like, okay, well, what's next? Like, I need to have something that I'm always working towards.
Yeah,
and
me
so
too.
I went through my little bucket list. And one of the things that poked out was go and live in an overseas country. And I didn't mean like overseas, like Australia was overseas for me, but I meant like overseas, foreign language sort of overseas. And Spain, because we'd been to Spain in 2013. And I was like, oh. And I'd said this to my husband thinking, oh, he's going to say flat out no. So I was like, oh, what do you think? Should we go and live in Spain for like a year or two? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, what?
Cool. Okay. That was easy.
I was planting the seed thinking this is going to take, you know, a few years to come. But turns out, you know, he still wasn't really ready. He said yes, but he needed a lot of security. So between 2015 and 2019, we did a lot of saving. I also invested a lot in myself so that I could be in a position to start a business and run a business and feel really secure that we don't have to just make it like a 1 year gap year, that it can last forever. And so in that time, gosh, we probably invested like 30-40k. We saved a stack of money, we spent a stack of money, and then in 2019, when our bank balance said hell the hell no, we actually went and booked our tickets, and they were business class tickets because we had saved up so many air points between 2015 and 2019, we could afford 5 business class tickets from Singapore to Istanbul. And we were like, yeah. And I was still like, I can't believe he said yes to this. Our bank balance is like back at square one again. I thought we were going to take like ages. And so then we sold everything. I mean, we didn't really own a heck of a lot anyway, but we sold what we did have. We didn't own a house or anything like that. So we didn't have like truckloads, hundreds of thousands of dollars or anything like that. So if you're thinking, oh, well, easy to sell everything. Well, we didn't. We had like a TV that broke before we sold it. A MacBook that broke before we sold it. Like,
did you tell the people you're selling to? Oh, it's a bit broken.
We couldn't sell it. Like, I put my old Mac computer up and the guy bought it. He paid for it. I went to format it and the thing broke. So I was like, I had to give him his money back. And then the TV I knew was going because we'd had it forever. I was just like, please hold out until we leave. And it broke about 3 months before we left. My car, you know, I had a 1995 Hyundai and my nice car didn't didn't sell. We thought the nice car was going to sell straight away. It didn't sell till well after I'd left. The 1995 car, everyone was fighting over it. Go figure that.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, we didn't have thousands, tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars, okay, guys? So if you've got this mindset block that says you can't do it because you need billions of dollars, you don't. And so we sold everything. February came. We'd been through all those silly bushfires in Australia, and then the floods came. We were moving in the floods. We had everything packed in our bags, went to New Zealand, travelled New Zealand for a month, and there's talk about this COVID thing happening in China. I was like, ah, it's fine. It's fine. I said to my mum, she goes, what if it's not really fine? And I was like, oh, it's going to be fine. You know, worst case, might get stuck in Vietnam, but it's all good. I won't be too sad if I get stuck in Vietnam. And I was only joking. Like, I actually did not believe for a second it was going to blow out like it did.
Oh, no one did. And we were just like, oh, that's the China, whatever. Oh, yeah, it's a cruise ship where people are sick. Oh, yeah, okay. Whatever.
Exactly. I was like, no way. So we arrived into Vietnam on the 6th of March, and it was sort of okay here. Like, we were able to go out, and there were no face masks everywhere at that point. It was still all good. We went out and did Cu Chi tunnels. We were in Saigon and had a bunch of fun. And then it was the 10th of March, we flew to central Vietnam. And it just happened to be, lucky I didn't watch the news, the day that there was a Vietnamese lady who had flown, and she'd been in France and didn't declare that she had been in France. And then she'd gone and flown around Vietnam spreading COVID. And so that was the big outbreak. And so then we arrived into central Vietnam. Our son got sick with a fever. And I was like messaging my friend, like, oh, my son's got a fever. She goes, have you seen the news? And I went, no. She goes, you better go and have a look at the news. And then I saw, and then it was like I was just terrified.
Oh,
I was like,
gosh.
Oh, my gosh. We're in this country where I don't understand the politics. I don't understand, you know, like, where I stand. Like, are they going to just have soldiers turn up at my doorstep? Because this is a military country. Like, you know, military can just turn up on your doorstep and take you here. And so I was freaking out a lot. And when we told the staff in the hotel, their faces was like the blood just drained out of them and they stepped back.
Whoa, I bet. But,
yeah, so that was a bit crazy. But basically it was about a week after that. So he was fine. We didn't get COVID tests at that point, but the hospital was like, no, he's fine. You've come from New Zealand. You haven't been on any at-risk flights. You haven't been in any at-risk places. You're fine. So we were still freaking out and paranoid. So we were just like, stay inside. And if we go to the beach, we'll stay away from people. But then about the 15th, I think, of March, then the New Zealand government started emailing saying, you know, you need to go home. If you don't go home, there's not going to be any flights for you. New Zealand's a really isolated country. You're going to be on your own there. And I'm just looking at this like, this is my world trip that I've planned for my entire life. We've only been in Vietnam for like 2 weeks. Do I want to go home? Not really. And then so then it was like, okay, well, what really, like, is it really? And in my head, I'm like, economically, like, the whole world's not going to shut down for more than 2 or 3 months. That was my brain. It was like March. I was like, nah, you know, planes can't be grounded for more than 2 months. The whole blooming airline industry would go bankrupt and the world would stop. And I was just like, not going to happen. Just not going to happen. Couldn't believe it at all. So it was a good thing I didn't believe that, because that gave me confidence to be like, oh, no, we'll just stay in Vietnam. It'll be okay. If, you know, worst case, Vietnam might get a massive cases or whatever, but they've dealt with SARS before. You know, I just had a lot of reassuring stuff in my head thinking it'll be okay. And my husband agreed about the 19th or so. We agreed we were going to make that decision to stay. At that time, we were still like optimistic that we could continue traveling down the country and then cross over to Cambodia and carry on with our trip to Singapore to fly to Istanbul. Didn't happen.
Stuck where you are.
Yeah, we only moved once from there. We moved down to a little town called Hoi An, and then we were there for about 4 nights and realized, well, something's going to happen. Things are going to change pretty rapidly at this point. And so we realized we were looking at a lockdown of some sort. We didn't know what we were expecting, and we had to choose between Da Nang or Hoi An, and we quite liked Hoi An, so we picked there. And we had the best time. We had a great restrictions. We had 3 weeks where we got to ride our bikes through the rice paddy fields every day and go to the market.
Yes, so. I was watching on Facebook and I've been following it going, oh, that looks so amazing. Like everyone's
I know.
Oh, so happy. And a lot of people here are all negative like at the time. Like, but yeah, it looks like you're having a great time over there.
It was so much fun. We're so, so lucky. And we've completely missed the second, they had a second wave here, but we were actually on our way back down there. And that was the hot spot of the second wave. And so when we heard about it and then we saw how rapidly it unfolded, we actually parked up here in the country and we haven't had any restrictions the second round. So it's been really good.
Brilliant. So what's the next place when you can move? Where are you going next?
It depends what's open. Because of what's going on over in Europe, we're a little bit hesitant to head that far away from home because we're dealing, probably our biggest struggle at the moment is visas. So, you know, when you travel, generally you're only going to somewhere for like a month, 6 weeks max. Most people aren't just like upping and moving to a country for a prolonged amount of time. And if you are, you're usually getting like working visas and permits and stuff. And so we're really lucky the Vietnamese government's been really generous and allowed us to keep renewing way beyond what you're usually able to. We still have to pay for that and it costs us a lot. However, with Europe, it's so open and then not open and it's, you know, one day it's fine, next day it's not. And our biggest challenge being that far away is at least here we're about probably between 12 and 20 hours travel, depending on if we can get a direct flight back home, probably not. So about 20 hours travel to get home. Whereas if we're in Europe, we're facing like a 2 day trying to get home. And we feel like probably it's just not a good place. Like if we go to Spain or if we went to Italy or anything, and if it all locks down, you're stuck in a place for one thing, but then there's also that problem of like, well, what if they don't allow you compassionate visas because it's already a known thing and then you have to move, but nowhere else is letting you in. So you're a bit stuck then. So that's hello. Say hi.
I've got a friend join us. Hello.
My little friend has just come in to say hello. Is there anything that I can help you with? what do you need? Oh, come and give me a cuddle. Go back and finish playing with your Beyblades. I'm going to take you for pancakes and French toast shortly.
Oh, okay? Amazing. Can I come? so you're also working at the same time, right?
Like yeah, well, I have my online business, which is not, it's not time heavy, which is, I'm really grateful for that. And I'm finishing up editing my second book. So not a lot of work needs to be done. I do a lot of like visual. You would have seen like a lot of video now coming out because we've just collected so much video over the time I've been here. I'm like, we need to start doing stuff with all this video. So I've made a commitment to try and make video like, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. And I'm just starting to get to our older content and put that together. So I do a lot of that. And, you know, I'll have the odd, I'm actually running a training at the moment where we're dealing with healing our money relationships at the moment. So that's been heaps of fun. And so I don't work. My work is really not time intensive, which I'm very, very grateful for. And I guess that's a big part of why I'm doing this, because, you know, I want to inspire other people that, you know, you don't have to save up $1 million to go and travel the world. And if you want to travel for a long time, maybe it is about thinking outside the box and looking at the other ways that you can do it. Like I've got my 13-year-old son here. In the last year and a half, he's put 77 tracks on Spotify. He's just out there growing his personal business so that by the time he's 16 or 17, he'll be self-sufficient. He'll be good on his own doing what he loves. And, you know, I think that that's, we all have that potential, right? And it's just some of us think, well, maybe no, we can't, but we can.
Yes. And so, circling back to, you know, having that positive mindset and, you know, the money mindset, I've talked about that a little bit before too. Why is that so important? I guess you kind of covered it a little bit before, but for being self-sufficient and living a great life.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, if you are stuck in those cycles, like we talked about earlier, when you've always got, you know, you're criticizing everything, you're criticizing yourself, you're always like, finding the negative in everything. If you're doing that negatives are always just going to keep presenting themselves. You're going to keep being in the negative cycle until you hit the rock bottom. And I think once you really take ownership of that and go like, actually, I've got full control on this, you have the opportunity to then rectify it and change it. And change takes time, you know. You're rewiring your brain. And that's what I like to say to people, you know, mindset, it's not about being meditation, being spiritual. It's about meditation. You're actually physically changing the construction of your brain. And it's not about being, you know, I mean, for me, I am quite a spiritual person, but you don't have to associate things like yoga and meditation with being a spiritual person. Oh, I don't want to do that because I'm not spiritual. It doesn't have to be around that. If you've got a block there that doesn't want you to let spirituality in, don't make it be about that. Make it be about, well, I'm going to take control of my brain and I'm doing mechanical shit with my brain because I can. Like, your brain is so powerful and people forget that. It's like controlling everything. You don't think about, oh, my heart needs to beat. Oh, I have to think about how I can see. You don't have to think about how any of this stuff works. It just works. And so you have to remember, like, with your mindset, it's the same. Your programming that you've had your whole childhood is there in the background playing games with you. And unless you consciously rein that stuff in and go like, no more, I'm not playing to that tune anymore. I want to change that. It's just going to keep playing out and you have to own that. So mindset for me has been everything. Like, I changed my mindset. I've worked on it and I still work on it. And I'm always finding areas where I like think, wow, like I'm probably not at my potential in this area. So I'll work on that for a while. And you can tell, because eventually you're going to wake up and you're going to go, wow, I don't feel like how I used to feel anymore. I feel different. Yeah. And that's it. You know, you actually are reprogramming the connections in your brain. You're telling them, no, I don't want that one anymore. We'll do away with that. I want this new one. But you have to remember, if you've had that old connection going for 20 years, 20, 30 years, maybe more, you know, it's not going to just change overnight and then go away. So, and I think that's a hard thing for a lot of people to realize is that, you know, you can do all of the work and then when it changes, but you can't stop doing the work because it's changed. I mean, once it changes, if you do, say, for instance, a year of work and you make all these amazing changes, if you stop, you still have 30, 40 years against you on the negative side, and that creeps back in real quick. And I've done it. I've stopped. Plenty of times I've stopped. And, you know, I just will start feeling that dark cloud creep back in. And I'm like, oh, shit. Got to pick back up my mindfulness, right? So it's training. You're training your mind, and you know, if you don't do it, you can then just, you're perpetuating victimhood. You're saying, well, you know, my parents did this, or my relationship was that, or I don't have this. And if you want to stay in that, then you are owned by your problems. Whereas you have the choice, because once you become an adult, you can go, okay, like, yes, that shit happened. Yes, it was crap. But now I'm an adult. Time for me to take the reins on my own life and sort it out. And that's mindset. You know, you have to change. Only you can change it. No one else can do that for you. And it's been everything. Like, we wouldn't be here where we are living this just incredible life if it weren't for that inner work that I've done. So.
Oh, yeah, you've done an amazing job. And I just wanted to touch on that. You know, it doesn't have to be spiritual. I just started reading The Source by Dr. Tara Swartz. And she is like a doctor, and she brings in law of attraction with the scientific stuff and how the brain waves and a bit of that. And I just started reading it, but I'm like, oh, it's really interesting. It's not just the woo-woo perspective. It's got the science behind it and the metaphysics. So I'm really getting into like reading this, because yeah, it is just science, like the law of gravity, you know, whatever the goes up. Come down, just like you throw a negative thought out there, you're going to get more of that back. I love all that. So and just on the topic of books, with your book Start Within, does that cover all that mindset stuff?
Yeah, it's a big part. So I studied A Course in Miracles throughout 2018 and part of 2019. And what that is it's basically 365 days of like mind programming, but it's reprogramming in a really dramatic way. So probably not everybody's cup of tea. It's like a book about this thick. It's a huge, huge text, and it's reprogramming everything. Like it covers like some misconceptions sometimes that are sometimes taken away from the Bible, where fear is brought in, and it tries to shift a lot of that. And a big, big chunk of it is actually being free from fear. And I know that that's not necessarily fully realistic, because, you know, like it's natural to have fear. But being able to recognize and determine like what fear is actually just in your head and what fear is actually real is massive. It's massive to be able to do that. So start with, and it was really, it's really interesting how it came about. I was watching Simon Sinek Start With Why, and I was doing all my whys, and I was just going round and round circles and rabbit holes. I wasn't really making any progress because I couldn't figure out really. I thought I kind of knew my why, but I was probably more stuck with my how. And and it was really interesting because I went through it, and I went through it, and I went through it, and I was like looking, I was looking outward for an answer that really was never going to be outside of me. And so once I started digging within myself, I was like, okay, actually we can't. And that was where the start, so originally it was called Start With I, was how it was originally put, but then I was like, no, I want it to be Start Within. And that's really it, because, you know, unless you've got yourself and you're in control of yourself, your thoughts, and unless you can start paving that relationship with yourself to be a really good one, then your outer world's always going to reflect that. So if you're looking around and it's not what you want it to be, then the relationship within yourself is actually not what you want it to be. So, and that can apply to anything. Your exterior is mirroring what's inside. So if your relationships aren't good, it means that there's a relationship within yourself that you've got to sort out. If your exterior home isn't what you want it to be, you've got to look what's not sitting right inside yourself. And it's same with money. Like if you've got a really bad relationship with money, again, you've got to look at your money relationship or your relationship with yourself again. So, and when I wrote it, I wrote with, I watched my family change in the time that I did Start Within. And I realized that it wasn't, you know, when you change yourself, there's a ripple effect, and it actually touches the people in your life, and it actually goes out further than that. And so a big part of me writing that as well wasn't just you to change your life. It's also a big, bigger picture of changing the way of the world, changing the future of humanity. And gosh, so interesting that we're having this conversation, because last night I had this like thought pop into my mind that, you know, why is it that the pessimist version of the future is playing out right now? You know, why is it the pessimists, their thought processes are more powerful than the optimists? And the only way to make that transfer to make the optimist version of the future more powerful is that more people have to believe in it. That simple. You know, if more people believe in an optimistic future, future will be more optimistic. If it's going to be a pessimistic, everybody doom and gloom and everyone running around in fear, then that's more the way that it goes. And for me, I'm optimist. I don't really care. Like I'm not really, I don't watch the news. I don't even know what the situation is around the rest of the world. But I think, you know, it's an interesting one. So, and it's like, if you start within yourself, little bubbles just happen. So it's about changing and reshaping the future of, you know, everything. So yeah,
I've heard like with like politics, for example, it's like there's two people and one person you really don't want, and everyone puts all that energy into who they don't want, and they end up getting elected, not mentioning any names, right? but, you know, why don't people put more energy into who they really want? And even the election campaigns, you watch them, it's always don't pick them because they're doing rah, 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 rah. It's never like, what are you going to do? What positive things are you going to bring to the world? It's always attacking the other person, so the energy goes towards them still. So then when you see it play out, you go, yeah, all that, yeah, what's happening with the second wave? Everyone kept talking about a second wave, so of course the second wave had to happen, right? Because
exactly.
So I also avoid the news. What are some other, you mentioned The Key to Living the Law of Attraction, and there was another book as well. What are some other books and resources you can recommend for people?
The Art of Happiness. That has been one that is absolutely wonderful. And the book that I'm actually listening to now, I would really recommend, is Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It. And I can't tell you the author's name of that one, sorry, but I am reading it at the moment. And That one is focused on teaching you self-love, because a big thing, you know, you talk about self-love, and if you've never done it before, it's a real mystery. And even, you know, for someone like me who's been working on myself for a long time, when you talk about self-love, there still wasn't really a lot of tangible stuff that I could think of. So if someone asked me, you know, how would you implement that, I was still a bit not sure. That book is gold, because that's literally taking start within, and you're only applying one real simple idea to your life. And he had a massive turnaround in his life. And so I think, you know, if you're liking an easy solution, that's a really good book to start with. If you like diving into the weird and wonderful, the Art of Happiness, gosh, that like lights me up all the time. The co-writer in the book frustrated the crap out of me the first few times I read it, because I was like, what is wrong with you? Like, how are you so, like, because the questions he asked the Dalai Lama is just like, are you for real? And he's supposed to be a psychologist or something, and I was just like, how are you a psychologist? Like, but if you can get past that part of the dialogue and just take out what the Dalai Lama is actually saying, there's just some amazing just perspective twists. Like one big takeaway for me was, you know, your greatest enemy is actually your greatest teacher. And I hold that so dear to my heart, because I think, you know, the person that I struggled with the most in my life was the person that drove me to be who I am today. Like, I always think I'm so grateful to what happened with my oldest children's father, because I'm like, wow, like, I really would not have this incredible life if it weren't for the shit that he put me through. And he had to put me through that shit, otherwise I would never have left. Simple.
It's a case for many people, right? They've got to hit like that rock bottom kind of situation to then say, all right, it's time to move up, and then start moving up, and you're like, oh wow, like, to see where I've come from and where I'm going, and then you really appreciate so much more what the life you live.
Absolutely, that's it.
Brilliant. And okay, so we covered some books, and what are some, if someone is struggling right now, everything's looking dark, seemingly no way out, what are some steps that you can recommend for them to start improving their life today?
Okay, so depending on what it is, I think, you know, if you're struggling in violence or family violence, even if it's just psychological, don't say it's just psychological, because, you know, psychological is actually some of the most damaging stuff. Get out there, start talking to people. If you can't face talking to people, write this stuff down. That's like my number one book thing that I talked about in my first book, Domestic Violence on Ice, is just, you know, write everything down, because, you know, you might not be ready and it's okay. Don't beat yourself up. Be gentle and kind with yourself, because for all of us, it takes the time that it takes. It's there, you know, testing you in some way, shape or form, and you've got to be gentle and kind with yourself. And the other thing, you know, is if you're down right now, really start thinking about what it is you want from life, because we're all taught kind of fit in the box, and a lot of us that suffer are people that actually don't fit in the box, and it's okay to not fit in the box. And I think, you know, I look at mental health and seeing it blowing out right now, and I've seen it with the social media, and we even had friends' children and bullying, and there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of unhappy people out there, and it's like, okay, well, figure out what it is that you're unhappy about. And if you're unhappy about your job, where you live, your friends, your whole life, if everything is just toxic, then sometimes you've got to do the dramatic change. And so for me, that dramatic change was like picking up everything, moving 600 kilometers away and starting fresh. But I mean, that might not be a viable thing right now. I understand, like, COVID is totally changing the way of the world, and people are stuck and trapped in houses and homes they don't want to be in. But start focusing, start writing down what you really, really, really desire. Like, really tap into that, because it's actually fun, for one thing. And don't look at it as so one big thing that I can give you as well is, don't look at it as like, oh, I wish I had da da da, and then start feeling shit about what you have. Look at it like, these are the things I really, really desire and I deserve, and I'm going to get them, and it's just a matter of when and how. And then start asking yourself, how can I have that? How can I have that? What can I do? And don't let your brain just settle for nothing. There's nothing you can do, because that's just, no, there's always something. Go and find somebody who's doing what you're doing or you want to do. don't trap yourself in regular what society has formed for you as a box if that's not suiting for you, because I think we all have so much pressure from the time we're like 16, 17 to get a job, buy a house, have kids, get married, buy a dog. Like, there is so much undercurrent pressure. And if your heart's not all like, yay, this is actually really fun, if you're only doing it to tick boxes to keep somebody else that nobody actually gives a shit happy, then you're doing yourself a disservice. So it's that's part of what the problem is. A lot of people actually are craving a life that's a bit different. And if you want to do different, you've got to start just peeling away what you don't need and start thinking, okay, I don't need to buy the flashiest TV every year. I don't need to buy flash phones every year. Don't need to start putting that money that you're saving into your bucket list dreams and desires and start making them happen, because that's more important. You know, you don't have to have the big fancy house and then, oh, okay, I've paid off like 3 years. Now I'm going to go and buy a bigger flasher house because I want to keep up with someone else, or, you know, you want to impress people. Don't live to impress people. Live to live what your heart's telling you to go do. And it will change. It takes time, but it will change. You know, you've really got to focus on what you can have instead of what you don't have.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I very much resonate with that, because I've always been like, oh, I feel like I was made for something extraordinary. I don't just want to, I always said, look, I really want to be a mom. Like, that's one of my number one goals, but I don't want to ever just be a mom. I want to have, yeah, a business. And I'm like, I don't know what, but you know, I'll work that out later on. Then the business kind of evolved into, oh my God, this is exactly the type of thing I want to do. You know, I said, oh yeah, I want to be on radio or something. And the podcast kind of evolved, you know, and it's like, I mean, people call me a go-getter. And I'm like, well, I just want to live this great life. And I plan to live till I'm 100, like over 100. And I put that out there. So I have so many more years to live. I don't want to just live that mundane life, like ticking the boxes. All right, I've had my kids, been married now, just work until I retire. And then, like, no, I don't want to have a life like that.
Exactly. And it's okay to not want that. Like, yeah. It's totally okay. And so once people start to realize, you know, you don't have to settle for that. You don't have to settle for that regular life, then you're free. That's freedom right there, once you realize that there are so many different things you can do to change it. Yeah,
I love that. And so I've really enjoyed our chat today, and I wanted to, we've kind of covered a little bit of this, but I asked all my guests, how do you manage your health and wellness?
Awesome. Yes, I've got that one. So my daily kind of thing has always got a part for me. So pretty much at least 5 or 6 days a week, and I'm really flexy, because if you're a mum, you know what mum life is like, and sometimes you can get kids that just throw out the window. Don't focus on that too much. I used to, and I used to do my head in. So 5 or 6 days a week out of 7 is great. I get up, I usually do, I aim for 20. If I can only do 15, I do 15 meditation, 15 minutes of meditation. And you know what? Because I love meditation so much, I used to want to do a silent one, and I used to want to do a guided one, and I used to want to do like a special Ho'oponopono one. I can't do them all every day, and you can't if you're a mom. I mean, if you've got no kids and you've got all the time in the world, go for it. But if you're a mom and you've got business and you're traveling, you probably don't have time to do 4 meditations a day. So I actually rotate. And so like at the moment, I'm doing a morning meditation. And because the book I'm reading is about self-love, I meditate on my self-love every day for 15, 20 minutes. And, you know, once my body stagnates and bored with that, I'll go and do a guided meditation. So I like Vishen Lakhiani's 6-phase meditation and Bob Proctor's abundance meditation are 2 of my real favorite ones. And I listen to a Ho'oponopono, which is like a I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And that's very beautiful as well. I always find that really lifts me. So that's my meditation practice that I do generally every day. Every evening I do journaling. I'd like to think I could do meditation and the journaling in the morning, but generally doesn't happen. So I do my journaling in the evening, which is, you know, I'm actually part of a mindset journaling tribe where we get given like prompts every day. So that really is helpful for me. I don't have to think about, oh, what am I journaling on today? And I just go for at least 1 page. I try for 2, but lately I've just been real shattered. So I've been doing 1 page, and I do a page of my current mantras, which I mix them up as well. So I've got my favorite one at the moment is I'm a joyful millionaire with an abundance of time. And I chose it like that because when I used to associate money, like a lot of money, I used to, my brain would be like, oh, but if you have heaps of money, you're going to be unhappy. So I'm like, I'm a joyful millionaire with heaps of time. And that sort of like shattering, like all the things that I was like, oh, but yeah, if I have heaps of money, I'm going to be unhappy and I'm going to have no time. So I'm like pushing those to the side with that. So those are my key things. Sundays I like to have a bath, but I don't have a bath at my current house. So next house will have a bath.
I love that saying. I want to write that down. I'm a joyful millionaire. Was it with?
With an abundance of time.
An abundance of time. I'm going to, yes, put that somewhere. Because I agree, like with the money and I, you know, I'm going through a lot of money mindset work at the moment. And, you know, when you're brought up thinking anyone with money is greedy or they're unhappy or whatever, and then it's like, well, you're just kind of telling yourself, well, I don't want to be that, so I don't want to have the money. And exactly. So I love that, a joyful abundance. It can be a positive thing. It doesn't, so I love that. And how can people connect with you?
So people can connect with me on my Facebook or on my Instagram. I'm Melissa A. Whittingham. And Instagram is probably like my favorite place. I've got a phone call coming in. I'll try and call them back shortly. Facebook, Instagram, or if you want to follow our travel adventure, we're World Travel Ambitions on Instagram. That's our family page.
Awesome. Oh, thank you so much. I've absolutely loved our chat. I knew I would. I really hope that at least something or at least one point, I'm sure many points have landed on the listeners today a way to change their mindset or some negative, untruthful beliefs or something about themselves or the situation. But yes, I'm feeling very uplifted. So I hope that everyone else has as well. So thank you so much, Melissa. I've really enjoyed our chat today.
Thanks. Same with me. It was heaps of fun.
Thank you. And thanks to you, dear listener, as well, for tuning in. You can find show notes for the episode at marketingandme.com.au. And if you enjoyed listening, please subscribe and leave me a rating and review via your podcast app or at ratethispodcast.com/marketingandme. If you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton. And if you want to learn more about generating leads or outsourcing your copywriting to me, head to my website, righttimemarketing.com.au, and book in a free 30-minute discovery call. And until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.